Hi, everybody. It's the Mike, Abe, and Carolyn show. And
hi, Mike and Abe.
And Mike is here.
Yes, hi.
Mike is somewhere. He's usually in another galaxy. I think the closest one
I'm in my Queen's bunker. Yeah. In the Queen's bunker.
The closest one is Andromeda. All right? And it takes you 400, about 400 light years to get there. All right? You know,
but eat healthy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, until we find the black hole or the worm or whatever we have to find.
Carolyn has
traveled to other galaxies.
Carolyn has her feet flatly pasted to the Earth. Okay? All right? And a lot of
not
other.
Not because I want to be.
And me, I'm floating around somewhere in the United States. Okay? I am an American.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's great to be an American. I've always said that. But I wish it was just one world, okay, with no need with no need for government, all right, no need, all right.
Now I'm gonna cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too, because David Yasky told me he believes in one world government.
Yeah, his.
Maybe you better rethink this, Abe.
Yeah, his.
The TLC is gonna take over the world. No, Uber is gonna take over the world.
No, right. Uber wants to be your everything, including the world government. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And speaking of Uber, okay.
What's Uber?
Yeah, what is it? That's a good question.
Huh?
You know.
Yes.
Nobody knows.
Speaking of Uber, Carolyn sent me a video. I'm not sure where she obtained this video this morning.
Owner-driver sent it to me.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. And tell us about the video, Carolyn.
Well, it shows a passenger in a yellow taxi coming, I gather, from LaGuardia Airport, and the passenger is describing how he was put into a bus to be transported to where the yellow taxis are located now at LaGuardia. Evidently, it's not so convenient, but he's willing to do it. He's a regular commuter in and out of LaGuardia, and he said when the bus arrived in the yellow taxi area, they basically locked the door and said, don't get off, it's crowded here, those who want to, the bus will take you back to the Uber area where you can take an Uber.
And oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like kidnapping to me. I would have been calling 911 at that point if I was on that bus.
And if anybody wants to see this video, I have embedded it in an NYC Taxi News webpage, which I will make public as soon as this show is over. Okay, so you'll be able to watch it. Okay.
The question is, who was the person who was standing by the door of the bus saying, don't get off the bus? Who was that person? Was that a Port Authority person? Was that an Uber shill?
I would go with Uber shill.
Well, these people get on this bus for the purpose of being transported to the mid Andromeda, mid galaxy,
right,
where they have been keeping the
taxi. But that's the yellow taxi area.
Right, and once they get on the bus, it's clear that they're going there to take a yellow taxi, right? And
hello,
hello, can you hear me? Hello.
You just went in and out.
Oh, okay.
You get zapped. Zapped, my brother.
Excuse us, ladies and gentlemen. We're in different locations, and we don't use Skype or nothing like that, so we can't see each other. Okay, but we do. Anyway, the bus is specifically for people taking a yellow cab. Okay, so whoever is driving the bus, is just a paid driver, right?
Okay. By whom? Oh, maybe by Gateway.
Yeah,
the franchise.
Right. And his job is to drive the people to where they want to go, which is to the yellow cabs, which shouldn't be in the first place. The yellow cabs have had the right to pick to be by the terminals for 330 years? How many years? Okay. 400 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And now all of a sudden, they're pushed off into a corner of the airport near the Marine Air Terminal, right, or inside the Marine Air Terminal. And now people come out of the main terminal, which I haven't seen yet personally. I know that everything is new there. They rebuilt things, okay? And, Mike, is the new terminal rebuilt? The main terminal?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is the main terminal
at LaGuardia?
Yeah.
They're actually they're doing a lot of progress. But like you said, the more progress I see, the more I notice the yellow cabs get shooed away.
Yeah.
So every time something is like unveiled and grand opened, I see less and less cabs, and especially at Delta, where it used to be our beloved Delta Airlines lot at the far side of LaGuardia.
Right.
They basically threw out the yellow cabs and replaced them with these Uber cars and other Uber et al, I call them, because I don't know how far the lawsuit will go one day.
Right.
And these people want yellow cabs. These people come into New York, they want yellow cabs. They don't want Uber cars, a lot of them. And then they're punished by being squashed on the buses like something out of a Spielberg movie.
Okay, so the purpose of the bus, regardless of whether it's right or wrong, is to take these people to the yellow cabs. Okay? So no driver has the right, or nobody has the right, after these people have gotten on the bus and shown that this is what they want the yellow cabs, to get up and start pushing, well, if you don't want a yellow cab, we'll take you to the Uber cars, and prohibit them from getting off the bus. You know?
Right.
I mean, you know, this
That's
is
scary.
Okay, well, this is what the gentleman is describing, okay? You know, to the taxi driver. So evidently, he was on that bus, okay? And you got to watch the video, and you'll see exactly what I mean. The video will be posted on the front page of NYC Taxi News as soon as we finish recording this show. So by the time anybody hears this show, the video will be there, okay? So go to the front page of NYC Taxi News, and you'll see LaGuardia yellow cab video. What should I call it? LaGuardia scam video, or something like that.
Kidnapping.
Right.
Uber napping. Okay.
Uber napping.
Right. Because they're not kids.
Uber-ectomy.
I told you how desperate they are. That they actually now they're kidnapping passengers.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let me tell you something. I was on one of the talk shows in the city here, and I just basically threw it out and said, like, listen, why are we still dealing with the Port Authority? I mean, living in Queens, we have two airports in Queens. I mean, Queens is huge. It's almost as big as Brooklyn. But you get to the point where it's like, listen, why are we using the Port Authority anymore? I mean, we have all this nonsense going on. We have to split the money with the Port Authority, which is basically a New Jersey-based thing that nobody really knows exactly what it is. And it's becoming more and more of a pirate ship for people you never even heard of. So I think it's time to just say, like, listen, Port Authority, that's enough. Goodbye. We're going to put the NYPD back in there. We're going to put all the city workers back in there. And I'll tell you something else. The Port Authority, when you see they talk about jobs, the natives in New York City usually get the nickel and dime jobs. As far as construction is concerned, I see a lot of plates from New Jersey, a lot of plates from Pennsylvania, a lot of license plates from Connecticut as far as the construction vehicles. And basically the New Yorkers get the crumbs. So between Cuomo and the other governor in New Jersey, I think it's time to say, listen, that's enough with the Port Authority. Get rid of the Port Authority. Put it on the ballot. And I've said it on the talk shows a few times, and the politicians get scared about getting rid of the Port Authority. I don't know why, but I guess they're throwing money at the politicians. But we got to get rid of the Port Authority. That's enough of the Port Authority. Especially now that they're
especially before they impose the $4 fee on yellow taxis.
Right. And again, where's the money? Nobody knows.
At the airport.
Nobody knows where this money's going.
Let me give you some breaking news here. I did send a copy of this video to Alan Fromberg of the TLC, and he wrote saying this video must be seen, and he wrote back, it certainly must. I'll spread this around, but more important to get it into the hands of the Port Authority, he says. Okay, in an email back. Okay, so I have done what I can to alert everybody who needs to know to know. Okay.
Right, because the Port Authority would have to be embarrassed into doing something about this, because they really don't care. They don't care about the hustlers. They don't really care about any of this. So hopefully this will maybe move them to do something.
Well, you know something? I got to give credit to the cab driver that had
yeah,
had this
I'd like to know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, you know something? You know, I've said to people, you know, when it comes to Uber and every article I'm reading lately is talking about how how this they're breaking. They break laws that this is their normal.
They're breaking balls, is what they're doing.
They're breaking laws. It's their mode of operation, MOS, right? Something like that, right? What do they call that?
It's just
I got to give credit to and I've always said that if anybody's putting up a good fight to Uber, and this is going on now for 5 years, right? It's the it's the New York City taxi business. They have destroyed taxi businesses all over the world. Okay, and we're the biggest fighters. The NYC taxis. We don't lay down. And we don't let anyone put a knife in our heart. Okay.
And London.
I disagree with that. We have a lot of so-called leaders who are like scared rabbits, hopping away every time there's a confrontation. And for years they've done this because they've gotten away with it. Their idea is to, hide in the tall grass and make little deals here and there. Now it's blowing up in their faces. So they have to be proactive versus scared rabbit, in my opinion. And I remember one time I went to one of the so-called leaders. I said, listen, why don't we put some airtime on the mainstream stations with commercials and pro-taxi stuff? What are we waiting for? And they said, go ahead, you can do it. It's like, well, first of all, I know I can do it with my money. I can do anything with my money that's legal. But where is the public relations and the publicity for the yellow cabs at how wonderful we are? Every time you turn on the TV, it's how wonderful all these other app companies are. Millions for one time, billions of dollars, they don't do anything, in my opinion.
In the articles that have been written lately, and many of them, I post on NYC Taxi News, they're not in such favor anymore. They're not speaking highly of them, okay? I mean, right away,
they've become a reference point, especially on the financial shows, when they discuss new and upcoming IPOs. They're a reference point. They say, well, you wouldn't want to wind up the Uber IPO or the Lyft IPO.
Right.
Nobody would want to see that kind of a disaster again.
Right.
So that's good.
Right.
And Uber is trying to float a $750 million bond issue. I read that yesterday on Bloomberg.
Right.
They want to finance their acquisition of Careem, the Saudi rideshare company. So we'll see what happens with that $750 million. It'll be interesting to see who buys it. I was predicting maybe the California Public Employees Union.
Well, they will.
After Gavin Newsom gets done with AB5, that AB5 bill, which declares Uber
and drivers, the employees, sitting
on his desk.
You know what I like about the AB5 bill? It's named after me, AB.
Right. AB5.
That's all you need to know.
I didn't
Carolyn,
think of that.
Yeah.
Right, Carolyn, since you're like the grown-up amongst us here, the real reporter, what exactly is that? From the top, what is Abe's bill in California, the AB bill?
That Uber and Lyft drivers and many other people who are now considered contractors could be considered to be employees. If your employer is telling you what to do and when to do and how to do it and establishing the pricing for you, they're controlling you. So then you need to be an employee, not a private contractor. But Uber has said, and this is interesting, Lorena Gonzalez, who's the assemblywoman in California who came up with the bill, had a meeting with Tony West, who's the head lawyer at Uber. He's also the brother-in-law of Kamala Harris. And Kamala's sister is her chief advisor. Kamala came out for the AB5 bill, but, who knows? Talk is cheap. So anyway, Lorena Gonzalez had a meeting with Tony West the other day. And, he said, we're not going to obey AB5. So she says, and this is a quote, "I thought about that conversation with Tony West and thought how unfair it is for any company in California to sit in a legislator's office and say, we don't care what you do, we're going to break the law."
Well, that's been...
I think that's it in a nutshell. They're not going to obey the law. They'll wait for people to start suing them.
Right.
That's been their mode of operation since day one.
Right. And it's going to continue.
You know, I thought it would stop. Well, I thought it would stop when the new CEO took over, whose name I still can't pronounce. Okay.
Kashwashahi.
Okay. You know, because really this was an idea of the founder of the company, the guy that stole my $1 million, okay, Travis Kalanick, all right?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, and the $1 million of everybody who owns a medallion, okay? The guy walked away with so many $1 billion, okay, of money he didn't earn.
Right, he's got a three-story penthouse in Soho.
Yeah,
I
mean,
so that's your opinion, basically Travis stole your money.
Absolutely. Okay, I worked.
That's your opinion.
I drove a New York City taxi for 42 years and paid every penny that needed to be paid in order to protect my asset. Okay, and he came along and stole it. He not only did he lose money for his investors, right? He lost money for the company, and he took their money and walked away with it. Where did he get so many $1 billion?
Well, here's
Explain
the thing. I mean, as far as saying outright theft, I think he had a lot of help. I mean, it's
exactly.
I wouldn't go as far as to say he personally stole it, but at the same time,
well, sure,
at
help.
The end of the day, you got stooped. Yeah.
Your Uber's a shark. Okay, I can't blame a shark for taking a bite out of me if I'm in the same water with the shark, but I can blame the guy in the boat who's throwing chum off the side of the boat. You know, getting the shark all excited. And that's basically what, you know, the TLC, the mayor, and the city council did. I hold them responsible because corporations do what corporations do. Sharks do what sharks do. In a way, I really don't even blame them. They should have been stopped.
Right. The math on this whole thing, I look at how much Uber allegedly is worth versus how much the taxi medallion went down in New York City and how much the taxi medallions went down across the country. And basically, the value of Uber, or as I call them, Suber, is directly proportionate to the value of the yellow cab's medallions across the country that went down. So if Uber says they're worth $40 billion, it's basically because it's been sucked out of, let's say, $10 billion has been sucked out of the yellow cab in New York alone. I mean, yellow cab in New York alone was $14 billion value as a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, just not even including the revenues that they would grab off the street. And now it's worth maybe, I don't know, what, $3 or $4 billion? So $10 billion went somewhere, and I'm guessing it went into Uber's pocket. And Abe will be the first one to second that. But I'll tell you,
so it's a transfer of wealth.
And it's in the city charter. It's in the city charter. They're not supposed to do that. The city charter says you have to basically stand up for the yellow cab drivers and make sure they make a good living, which was totally dismissed by the so-called chairperson that just left, thank God. Go ahead, Abe. I'm sorry.
You know, Uber came in. And immediately started to do something that if a yellow cab did it, you would lose your license, and that's surge pricing. Okay, it's in the rule books, and it probably still is in the rule books. Okay, I mean, but it's been there for a long time that if a yellow cab driver charges anything more, anything above $10 of what the metered rate is, right, that they have their license revoked.
I'm not sure about that now because we are allowed to do upfront pricing. And while generally that seems to be lower than what the meter fare would have been, I suppose theoretically it could be higher. Who? Nobody's doing it because it's not really what we do, but we're allowed to do it.
Well, how does that work? How does an upfront price work?
Who does that? What's that company, Abe? Wave?
Yeah, but how many
I can't think of the
how
name.
Many taxis have this Wave?
Hardly anybody. It's not what we do.
Yeah. It's not what we do, right. We put the meter on and give the passenger a fair rate. That's it.
Right.
That's why they call it a fare.
Oh,
that was too simple.
You know?
It was just too simple.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an F-A-R-E that is F-A-I-R.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be a good advertisement.
Yeah, well,
you know?
They should do
take
that.
Take a yellow cab.
Yeah, you know, maybe we can start some sort of, getting people together to do that, you know, to do advertising.
You know, I understand. One of the livery companies, the one that's owned by Avi Cabeza, I can't remember if it's Dial or Carmel. I think it's Carmel. He has ads running on television all the time. I see them on CNBC, the business channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a livery company. So how expensive could it be to run those ads?
this is my thing. It's like, listen, if I had 1,000 cabs or 2,000 cabs or some umbrella of cabs, I would say, okay, well, we'll go on one of the radio stations and say, hi, we're the yellow cab drivers and we're the yellow cab operators. We've been wonderful for 75 years. Take a yellow cab. Boom. Just that.
Right.
What is so scary about doing that? I think they come from a playbook where they hide in the tall grass and they stay behind the scenes and make all these little deals. And now nothing's happening. I mean, look at the surcharge. Surcharge is a perfect example. We're going to sue them. Fine. What was that? When did they sue for this surcharge? 6 months ago? We're going to sue to stop the surcharge. Well, let me tell you something. I think a few months of getting $1 million in your bank account.
Right.
And then having to send it out. I think you get kind of used to
having
$1 million of new dollars in your bank account.
A day.
And, right. And you're not in as much of a rush to stop that from happening, in my humble opinion.
There's no rush. That's
right.
Not probably ever going to go away now. It's part
of
the budget.
The only rush was with the cabbies who were like, where's our fare increase? I used to see some of these fleet owners saying, we're not going to apply for a fare increase at this time. It's like, what? After 7 years, you're not applying for a fare increase? Like, well, Uber. It's like, listen, forget about Uber. We have a steady core of yellow cab passengers who do not give a shit about another dollar for a cab ride. Where's the fare increase? And I think, I hate to say this, a lot of people had their little mouths drooling over the $2.50 per ride that they could hold versus 50 cents a ride that they could put in their pocket. So whatever the math was, they figured it out and said, we don't need a fare increase. Whereas the cabbies, like me, Abe, and Carolyn, and other people in the industry, is like, listen, I would never say no to a fare increase. And that's one thing about Yoshi. No fare increase during her tenure. No medallion auction during her tenure. And the medallion went down by 90%. Great job, Yoshi!
But you know what's funny? She's still speaking about the industry. She's going to be at a Rudin Center event at New York University next Tuesday, I think it's 9:30 in the morning, talking about accessibility and everything the TLC has done and how New York City policies have changed and blah, 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 blah. Why is she still there talking? She doesn't work for the city anymore.
I wonder if she'll get there on a bicycle.
And then that same day, next Tuesday, the DOT is having an extravaganza at 55 Water Street, where they're going to be talking about all things New York City transportation from like 9 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening. You can't get a ticket because I think it's all sold out. But this is where they're probably going to roll out their plan for your future.
You guys fly through Port Sound. From the top, please, Carolyn, what is this? Because you do this every day. I'm waking up and Abe doesn't.
I don't remember the date of the event, and you can't go because it's sold out. But it's Department of Transportation. Like, I guess all the insiders, policy people, maybe some politicians, I don't know, will be attending. It's at 55 Water Street, and they're going to discuss the future of New York City's transportation system, all things. The new battle is going to be over curb space. That started with the 14th Street busway, where they said, well, you know, you can't have trucks, you can't have cars, you have to make an immediate right turn, but you can have Ubers picking up and dropping off.
So then
they finally said, okay, yellow cabs can drop off,
too. How nice of them.
But then the whole thing came to a halt because there's a lawsuit about it. But probably eventually, you know, it is going to go through. And that's just the experiment. It's the beginning. They're going to do this everywhere, and they're going to limit access to curb space. It's all going to be, like, planned for bicycles, for trucks unloading, maybe little spaces for Ubers to pick up and drop off, whatever they have in mind. And, Abe, I think I sent you the DOT 90-page report on their vision for the future and what they want to do.
I get to page two and I get sick.
Yeah. The main takeaway from that was that Polly Trottenberg does not want to have to deal with politicians, electeds, or anybody, or community boards. They just want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to have to be bothered discussing it with the little people because
Polly
she went to the Harvard School of... You know, the Kennedy School of Government
tell
or City Planning or whatever the hell it was. And she knows best. The elite knows best.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know anything.
You tell Polly Trottenberg that we're still living in a democracy, okay, where people have a right to say about what happens where they live. Okay.
Well, look what happened on the west side, on Central Park West. They wanted to close that all down and make it into a bike lane.
Right, I know.
Right by the park. And that is stopped temporarily.
Well, good. And it
we'll
be,
see. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Let me
can I do my Polly imitation real quick? My Polly impersonation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. All right, listen, let me ask this question. You know, since AB5, you know, the bill named after me, has passed in California, still needs the governor's signature, but everybody believes that the governor is going to sign it, okay?
But not without some changes.
Well, what does he got to do, change his underwear? I mean, what?
Yeah.
It could be like, you know, what happened to us with the congestion fee. They weren't going to charge yellow taxis. They weren't going to do it. Then it was only going to be a very nominal charge. They were going to charge FHVs more. Yeah. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, it all changed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And bam, you got a 50 congestion
fee. I hope Uber isn't sitting inside the office while he's making
changes. They are. I'm sure, as we speak, I'm sure Uber is sitting in Newsom's office right now. Negotiating some kind of a card out.
The question I started to ask is, what is your opinion, Carolyn and Mike, what is your opinion of our governor, the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, saying now that he believes that most of the gig workers should be employees?
I guess he's protecting his left.
His left.
He wants to run for something in the future, either governor again or perhaps president. He's protecting his left, and talk is cheap.
Well, if he was smart, he would just.
I think it's great because that means Uber's out of business.
Yeah.
I mean that's my opinion.
I know, but if our governor was smart, he would run out of New York. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, take a
he's
sprint.
The king. He's the king of New York.
Take a sprint somewhere else because a lot of people are sick and tired of what's been going on. Okay.
Oh, 277 people are leaving every day.
Uh-huh. How many?
And you know, here I am in the southern state. Okay, I'm part of the Confederacy. Okay. Here I am, a native.
You have a rebel flag in your window.
A native New Yorker living in the Confederate state. Okay, or actually, I'm not sure if Florida was in it was in the Confederacy or not, or if it was even a state at that time. Probably was. Okay, I'm not great at Civil War history, but here I am in the South. Okay. And I'm telling you right now, they can't stop building condos. Everywhere I look, they're building more condos.
You know, Florida's had a big increase in population, Florida and Texas.
Yeah, I know. And all of these condos cost $500,000, $750,000, a million, more than a million. So many of the people in New York that have money, okay, they're fleeing. They're coming here.
Yeah, I know some of them. Carl Icahn left yesterday.
He did.
He's gone.
He did.
Doesn't want to pay taxes in New York City anymore.
Where'd you hear this? He's a big boy.
What? I don't know. I think I heard it on one of the business news channels.
They just said, I'm out of here.
The future that Polly Trottenberg and others are planning for, you know, this ever-expanding, we're growing, blah, blah, blah. No, we're not.
We're
not growing.
By the time Polly Trottenberg is through... A one lane for a bike down Fifth Avenue will be enough because nobody else will need to use it except her, and her tricycle. Okay,
Polly Trattenberg.
Put the next bike lane on Park Avenue. You know, in the middle of Park Avenue, they have the flowers, the little trees, and the bushes.
Right.
That's all wasted space.
Yeah.
Come on, let's put a bike lane right down there, right down the middle of Park Avenue.
Yeah,
there's a lot of ecologically minded people.
Don't even say that in jest.
They should split the trees in half and separate them for the bike lane. Okay.
There's plenty of room there for a bike lane.
Yeah. I was just going to say with Polly Trottenberg, the genius of New York, I don't know. Now, when you put an additional 60,000 Uber cars on the streets of New York City in the last 4 or 5 years under de Blasio, and then you say you got to save the environment by making bike lanes, wouldn't it be better to start by not putting 60,000 new cars on the streets of Manhattan?
It's actually 85,000.
excuse me, 85,000 new gas-guzzling, polluting cars on the streets of Manhattan. And for some reason, that doesn't register with her. What registers is bicycles. I don't know if she has like an OCD something. So, I mean, they really have to start looking in the psychiatric industry and say, listen, just give us a lift of all the people you have in therapy, and let's take a look at what they're doing. Because the bicycle thing is just OCD. It's ridiculous. All these bicycles running around. I see huge construction for bicycle lanes. I mean, if you're in the bicycle lane industry, you've died and gone to heaven. Because I see all these bicycle lanes, maybe two or three bicycles running up and down, going 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Uber cars flooding the street, polluting the air, running people over, having accidents right and left. I mean, it's good for the people who are making bicycle lanes and for a lot of the trial lawyers, because now they have cases all over the place.
It's great for the body
shops. But for the rest of us, we have to suffer.
The body shops.
Yeah. There is some freakonomics involved, I'm sure.
The other odd thing is, if I occasionally take a cab, I do look behind me over my right shoulder to see if a bicycle is coming. But you see, now I actually have to look forward also, because many times there's a bicycle going the wrong way on a one-way street between the curb or the parked car and the taxi. So if I open the door, I could, you know, get a bicyclist who's heading the wrong way. So I have to look both ways now.
What percentage?
When I'm on the sidewalk, when I'm on the sidewalk and I need to get from the left side of the sidewalk to the right side of the sidewalk, I have to look behind my shoulder. Because many times there's a bicycle right behind me, and if I take a step to the right or the left, I would have gotten hit.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
And no insurance. No insured bicycles, no registered bicycles, no licensed bicycle riders. Just a free-for-all on the streets of New York right now. Thank you, de Blasio.
And as a pedestrian, you are in the way. I went to Rockaway to the beach the other day on the ferry.
Uh-huh.
As we're getting off the ferry, you're on a sidewalk before you have to cross the street to walk a couple blocks to the beach. So there were bicycles on the ferry, and they should have been just walking the bicycles for those 20 feet on the sidewalk until they got into the street. That's fine. But they didn't. They had to get on the bicycle and start riding it, like, as they were getting off the ferry. And then, of course, the pedestrians were in their way, so they're ringing their bells at the pedestrians to get, but we're on the sidewalk. I mean, this is just crazy.
Yeah.
And you're there just, like, to relax for the day. It's not like the, I understand when somebody's delivering or they're a bike messenger, you really got to get to where you're going, but usually they're not the insane ones. It's, you know, just the regular riders who are very annoying and entitled. Very entitled. Right. They feel very virtuous. Now everybody's going to hate me because I seem like I'm anti-bicycle. And I'm not. I had two bicycles in my living room for 10 years, and then I decided it was so unpleasant riding in the city, I just gave them away.
What percent of the bicycles actually use the bicycle lane?
Well,
many of them do, but they go the wrong way in the bicycle lane.
In other words,
they're not even going the right way.
How about I saw a video of an altercation in Central Park with the bicycles, where the police were trying to stop these bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't stop for pedestrians in the park, you know.
The previous parks commissioner said he will no longer ride in Central Park because it's so dangerous. I forget the guy's name. He was one of two parks commissioners ago. Oh. And that day, one of the bicyclists fell off his bicycle, and he said to the guy who was filming it, "Oh, I was on Snapchat." That's how he explained his accident.
He was looking at his smartphone while riding his bike. Is that it?
Yeah. The funny thing was, the accident between the pedestrian and the bicyclist resulted in the bicyclist's death, and the pedestrian was okay.
This should be a law. This should be a law that if a smartphone, or whatever you call it, an iPhone, whatever, you know, is in motion, it will not be operable. Mm. Okay.
I think that's a very good idea.
Okay, and it knows whether you're in motion, because I have a GPS. Yep. I just bought a new GPS for my car. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The old one gave out after 7 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a brand new one last week. Okay. And you know, if you try to touch it while the car is moving, a thing pops up, says cannot operate while moving. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good idea.
Yeah, and it gives you an option, though, of turning that off. You know, so but there shouldn't be that option. Okay, There shouldn't be.
And right. You shouldn't be able to use it when you're walking or driving.
Right. Exactly.
Now, one thing I've noticed lately on when I'm listening to the radio in New York, they have these sports shows, and it's like, okay, Tony from Brooklyn. Yeah, like, or Joe, I just want to ask that. And you know the guy's driving. I mean, you know the guy's driving. And apparently, from what I understand, there's a lot of liability stuff going on where you can be held liable if you are talking to someone at home and the person knows that you're on the phone in your car and you're driving. Because a lot of these guys, just when they call in these radio shows, I doubt they pull over to the side of the road and have a conversation legally. So I could also say some of these people, a great way to start would be on the sports and the regular talk shows and say, are you driving? Are you driving? Yes.
Well, the thing is this, Mike.
Mike,
the thing is this. I know you don't own a car, okay? Right? I have Bluetooth in my car, which is in the dashboard, okay? So when I get a phone call, all I have to do is touch the button, and I have two hands on the wheel, and I can talk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in New York, none of this is allowed, even the Bluetooth, right? Or is it?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, well,
I don't know.
Well, you know, but you're talking about people that are holding the phone in their hand while they're driving, okay? Which is something.
I actually tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Let me just say, what I would say, in my opinion, they have something now that the shrinks call it road rage by proxy. Let's all of a sudden say, Abe is asking Mike something and Mike didn't do it, and now you're all ticked off and you're on a hands-free phone. You're going to be upset, and you might even take some of that upsetness out on the driving habits. So I think just the fact that these people are always, always, always on the cell phone, way, shape, or form, should be reined in.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, just I think there's a big problem, especially with the Uber drivers. Their dispatching method is with them holding a phone, and they roll through the stop signs all the time. They don't stop for stop signs. And do any of you know why the Uber drivers, 90% of them, do not stop fully for a stop sign? Is there some deal where they have to keep rolling or stay in motion to get a bonus or something? Because somebody told me that they get some kind of crazy incentive to keep constantly in motion versus physically stopping.
That I never heard. That's a new one.
Somebody told me that. Yes, I have to check that out. And they said something to the effect of, I always say, like, why do these guys just stop for fares? They said, oh, no, they don't want them stopped. They want them to be in motion just to show there's coverage. So why don't you just sit on the
I don't know about that.
I'll check that out.
Lyft is telling drivers to log off and relocate. So that way that doesn't count as time on the app, which keeps the utilization rate higher, which keeps the pay per minute and per mile lower, which is what they want. So that's, you know, there's always a way to
regulation. While they're relocating, they're probably picking up illegal street fares.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Well, it could be. That's how they're getting their extra money.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You gotta put the National Guard out there to control this. I swear to you, because the New York State or the New York City Police are not. Okay, they never have.
Well, did you see what happened to the police yesterday?
Yes.
There was a kid who ran into a cab. Nobody thinks it's the cab driver's fault. The kid ran into the cab. He was from some special high school on the upper, not upper west side, Midtown on the west side.
52nd and 8th. I know exactly where it is. It's a pain in the ass there. Big pain in the ass high school. They should change the name to Pain in the Ass High School.
It's a special needs high school. So then he got upset, his friends got upset, the police came. There was a big fight between the police and the kids. They attacked two cabs. Five policemen were injured. I think two or three of them had to go to the hospital. The kid was taken to the hospital, but I don't think he's seriously injured, but he was fighting with them the whole way. And I don't know what's going to happen after that, but that was really something.
So what happened? The kid ran out.
He walked out into the traffic. He walked into a cab.
Purposely walked into moving traffic.
Sometimes people, I don't know, when they want to assert themselves, they just sort of walk out into traffic. Haven't you ever seen kids do that?
Well, this
like
school,
I'm here.
This school for special.
You got to stop. You know
school,
that kind of.
The school for special
needs.
I'll
tell you what. He wouldn't pull that shit uptown. They'd just run him over and keep going.
I know, but I'm saying is the school for special needs. What are they teaching them?
How to commit suicide
in traffic? You know, I mean,
how to sue the police?
You know, I knew somebody.
This reminds me of something.
Back in the 1960s, when everybody didn't want to go to Vietnam, okay, and didn't want to get drafted, okay, which I was one of them, but I did get drafted, and I did serve my country, but they didn't.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. I didn't go to Vietnam. I got to say that, but that was just luck, all right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But I knew a guy in my neighborhood on the corner of Utica Avenue and East New York Avenue where the White Castle is, if you've ever been there. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually got his draft notice and walked out and let himself get hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because he wasn't going in the army no matter what. Okay. And this
and this
was his way out. All right.
Right.
Okay.
That'll do it. Yeah.
If you're listening,
and there were other guys who went to Vietnam shot a toe off.
If he's listening,
you probably have heard those stories.
Yeah,
or shot their
yeah.
second lieutenant.
I just want to say, if he's listening,
that happened too a lot.
If he's listening, his name was Carl. Okay. All right. And he'll know what I mean. Okay. He did survive, but he was pretty badly injured. Okay, and he did get out of going into the army. Okay,
how Patton died. The irony is that Patton died in a car crash, like 3 days after the war ended.
Yeah, but that was an accident. I watched the movie about that, and it was an accident. Okay,
right.
He didn't,
yeah.
But Patton didn't want to die. He just wanted everybody else to die. Okay.
Well, he wanted the enemy to die.
Well, usually the generals don't die.
No, with people, Patton said, Patton, there's a video of George C. Scott playing Patton, who says, war heroes are not heroes by giving their life for the country. They're heroes by getting the bastards that they're fighting to die for their country.
Right.
You know, so look, let me just change the subject here. Let's get back to taxi cabs, all right?
Hey, one last thing on Patton. Let me say.
What?
And now, have you ever, instead of just talking to me to give a pep talk, do you understand when Patton went into the hospital and slapped the soldier? Do you ever feel like doing that to me sometimes?
Every day. So listen. What's this BS running around, being reported that your mayor, and not even eligible anymore for the presidential debates, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That your mayor said that nobody wants the job of TLC commissioner.
Yes, I heard that. So you may as well take Jeff Ross.
Yes, so you might as well take...
Heaping, steaming pile of bullshit right there, that is. Nonsense. You're going to tell me you can't walk into the street and say, excuse me, you want to make $250,000 a year for doing nothing? Josie has it down to a science. She makes $250,000 for doing nothing for like 7 years, and now she has a pension that's like probably half pay or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
You can't find yourself and say, oh, okay, listen, you got to run the TLC... or a taxi commission for 7 years, $250,000 a year, and retire with like 40% pay. You want it? Oh, no, I don't want that. I don't want that crazy job. Oh, hell no. I don't think that would be the answer.
The whole situation
would be like, yes,
is
yes,
bizarre.
Daddy, I want the job, yes.
Because so one political insider told me that in 40 years he has never seen a mayoral appointee come to the city council to the hearing by the rules and I think what is it called? The rules committee and have them reject them. That's never happened. Once the person gets to that point, it's already a done deal. You know, the mayor's, you know, his staff has checked it out with the other city council people. Yeah, we're going to vote for this guy. Well, we have the votes because it's embarrassing. This never happened before. I think there must be a struggle going on between the speaker and the mayor or some other elements in the city council or Uber and the mayor. I mean, as bad as the mayor's appointees are, maybe Uber has somebody else in mind that they want.
Uber commissioner.
If you remember, Rodriguez and the Speaker did not want the TLC to vote on the package of rules about the utilization and the cruising and, you know, all that stuff. They wanted them to hold off until they have a real commissioner, which I don't really see that
Rodriguez,
it made a difference.
Rodriguez was mentioned as a possibility. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then that went away.
Yeah, certainly that's
I don't know what happened with that.
He doesn't want the job, you know. He's part of
He does want the job.
Well, if he wants the job, let's give it to him. Okay? My pick is Taxi Dave. Okay?
I third that motion.
Yeah, I mean, we should get Taxi Dave here on the show. Okay? Maybe we...
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him if he wants to do a show with us, and... we can do it. Technically speaking, it requires 2 3-way phone calls. Okay? So, you know, I can't do a 3-way phone call from my computer where I'm recording the show. Okay? And Carolyn can only make one 3-way phone call to get Mike on the line. So so we need Mike. We need to teach Mike how to make a 3-way call on his flip phone, which is which is pretty simple. All right?
My bat phone.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Barring Taxi Dave as TLC commissioner, there is another opening on the TLC.
What's that?
Manhattan hasn't had a representative in years.
Oh, really?
What's her name? Lavrienska Polanco was the Manhattan rep.
But then she
became a mayoral appointee. So she is no longer the Manhattan rep. She's a mayoral appointee. So there's an opening.
So who do we
and
want?
It has been for years.
Okay. Well, does it have to be somebody that lives in Manhattan?
I think so.
Okay.
I think Taxi Dave is a resident of Manhattan now.
Remember, the one thing you have to remember with these appointments is the main qualification to become a taxi commissioner and run the TLC is that you, I think you have to have zero cab driving experience, and then you're qualified to run the taxi commission.
Well,
unlike the fire department, the police department, you have to have no taxi experience.
Right. Well,
I can tell you one thing. I don't think most of them have ever read the rule book. Because if they had, as we keep pointing out, all these rules to them that the TLC has been ignoring, they would understand what I'm talking about when I'm up there. But I don't think they ever actually review their own rule book. So that, I mean, I think before you get to be a TLC commissioner, you have to be given a little test. You have to do some reading. Like when you get your driver's learner's permit, you know, you read the book, they give you a little test, and then you go on to the driving lessons. I think that they should have the same thing to be a TLC commissioner. They have to have some basic understanding of what their rules and
they
regulations
should have
are.
They should also have at least some experience driving a taxi.
Well, that brings us to the City Council Transportation Committee hearing that was held on September 10th.
Right.
Because among other things that were discussed, and this was discussed a day before the meeting, Adonis Rodriguez and I can't think of the name of the other council person were calling for the TLC to be basically disbanded but reformed in some other shape or form. And the Independent Drivers Guild said the same thing at the hearing, that they want the TLC done away with. Raul Rivera, who represents some of the livery, he's an Uber driver.
He's been running around with his petition for the last year and a half.
Yeah, he wants the TLC disbanded, reformed, recombobulated, whatever.
Yeah.
Bill Heinzen didn't seem to be, you know, too upset about it. He said, oh, yeah, they're always, somebody's always calling for the TLC to be dissolved.
Well, from day one. From day one.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like a guy like Bill Heinzen because he seems like he's not like he doesn't want to be a media star, that he actually knows how to do the job. And he's not like, he doesn't seem like a real politician guy, but
he's the technocrat. So given the proper direction, if you said, Bill, I want you to get 50,000 cars off the road. You sit down with a working group and you figure this out for me. How do we do this? Because that's going to benefit drivers. It's going to benefit the people who live here. It's going to benefit everybody. I mean, there's a temporary part-time workers. How do we do this?
Right.
He would probably, if you told, either he would resign or he would do it. You know, because I think you're right about that.
Bill, we want you to get 50,000 cars. Let's start
what
now.
I want to Bill,
Bill, we want you to get 50,000 cars off the road tomorrow. Uber cars, that is. Okay, ready? Now, Abe, you told me something which I didn't know. You said we have 14,000 approved medallions by the TLC and the City Council and the blah, blah, blah. based on the medallion system that was created, thank God, in 1937. But you said only 10,000 cars are on the road out of the 14,000 available medallions?
Carolyn, yeah. you answer this question, okay?
Yes. As of the latest figures, July, I think it was about 10,000 cabs are out there on a daily basis.
Oof.
There's like maybe 11,000 who could be out there,
well,
but 10,000 are out
you
there.
Said, hold on,
13,000.
Carolyn, you sent me one of their stat pages that shows less than 10,000 yellow taxis.
Yeah, what was it, 9,800?
Yeah, something like that, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was rounding.
Yeah, so the rest of those medallions, let's just round it off at 10,000, okay? So there's 13,500 medallions, something like that, right? So that would mean 3,500 medallions are not operating.
Right.
Okay.
Well, there were always 500 throughout history. There were always about 500 who were off the road for whatever reason.
Yeah, but...
sold, repaired, sued, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, but these medallions...
There should be 13,000 cabs out there every day.
No,
there
but there never were, but there were 13,000 cabs in existence. Okay, so that there would be enough taxis on the road at any time during the day. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So where are they?
Where
That's
are they?
The question. Nobody knows.
And what's going to happen to these medallions that that have been auctioned off to hedge funds? You know, I mean, these people didn't buy these medallions just to put them in their pockets.
I don't know why they bought the medallions. I don't know.
Nobody knows. I'm not in New York. I've mentioned that before. Okay, although I'm a native New Yorker and a 42-year veteran driver. Okay,
right.
Okay, taxi driver. All right. So wherever I am located, my heart is always in New York. All right, believe me. Okay.
You could be back. You could be back behind the wheel tomorrow. Let's put that. You have the ability to be back behind the wheel tomorrow.
Well, it might take me longer than that because I let my hack license expire. Okay.
Well, we don't say that.
Okay. I don't know how long it would take me to re-get my hack license. All right. All right. Besides that.
Well, you didn't let the other thing expire.
I'm not finished saying what I'm trying to say. Okay. Would you let me finish?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I forgot what I was trying to say. What I'm saying is, what was I saying? Okay, tell me.
You're saying something about
how many cabs are on the road and where are they and why there's so many missing in action.
Yeah, well, it just seems. Oh, I see. I know what I was going to say. I watch the webcams sometimes. I could see that there just isn't the number of taxis out there anymore for the people to hail. Okay, which is why it's pretty damn good. For the ones that are out there now, okay?
Right.
Really, they're making money. Uh-huh. These guys are making money, all right?
I pride myself as being the laziest cab driver in New York. And when I went out last weekend in a very dear friend of mine's cab, I did my usual routine of sitting on my ass at taxi stands, which I like. I mean, I've gotten into the habit of, why am I racing around the streets of New York versus just sitting at a taxi stand and people hop in anyway?
Yeah.
And I've been doing very well with that. I mean, surprise. I guess it's Back to the Future, but the brick-and-mortar cabbie who's actually driving the cab is doing okay. I mean, we should be doing better with a fare increase because some geniuses who don't drive said we don't need a fare increase.
You know Peter Mazur said that at the hearing, and the
MCDOT
representative, he said, even now, after everything that's happened, yellow taxi drivers are making more money than Uber drivers. And there was like 100 or 200 Uber drivers in the room in their red T-shirts, and they all went, like they didn't believe it.
Well,
Let
them get out there and try it. It won't cost them anything to try it. Go out there for a day.
Right.
You know, what do you got to lose?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
What's
the situation with taxis that are available? Do they have drivers to drive them? You know.
Not the two shifts.
Day shift. The day shift during the week is getting out like 95%. Day shift during the week is getting out like 95%, even with the horrible traffic which would be created by Gottenberg with her crazy bike lanes.
Yeah.
Right. Do you see any less cars on the road, by the way, any less black cars? We passed the driver income rules. They have cruising rules, all these new rules. Do you see any, and the cap, okay, do you see less black cars on the street? Because I don't. I still see almost all black cars everywhere I go in Manhattan. So
going
it hasn't
five
done
miles
anything.
An hour and roll, 5 miles an hour rolling through stop signs. I'm going to get to the bottom of this rolling through stop sign thing. I just don't know what the hell's going on. But I'll tell you, the brick-and-mortar cabbie is eking out a living. Before, like a couple years ago, it was really scary. But now, the person obviously who's getting destroyed is the medallion owner and the person who's running the cabs. And you can't have one without the other. I mean, the cabbies need a place to get a cab from. And if the place to get a cab from goes down the drain, then the whole thing goes down the drain. So, like I said, it just has to be some equal balance. But it has to be day one. And we have to have some day one scenario to get these cars off the road. It's ridiculous. Why do they have so many cars on the road? And a lot of these guys have just come out after work. And the reason the day shift goes off of the yellow cabs is because a lot of these, the overwhelming majority of these Uber cars now go out at night. They don't even bother with the day shift.
You know,
I
mean, Mike,
I've heard that from a few people.
Mike, you mentioned a place for them to get cabs from. And that brings me to thanking the people that are helping sponsor this radio show, okay? Which is the MTBOT, okay? Mm-hmm. Checker Management, Queens Medallion, McGinnis Management, okay? United Taxi Management, and WB Taxi, okay? And all of those places, you could come to the... Go to the front page of NYC Taxi News, log on, and you could visit their websites, most of them, okay, or see what the deals are. And try driving a yellow cab, okay? Try it, okay?
Yep.
I did it for 42 years, okay? You know, there's none of this, getting pinged or ratings, the driver, the passenger rates you, or the surge pricing where Uber keeps most of the surge, okay? You know?
Wow.
You know, you just go out there, you know, in many cases, you pay a flat rate to use the taxi, okay? And believe me, once you make that flat rate, and it's not very much these days, okay, you're just renting a taxi. Basically, okay? And you go out there, and after you reach a certain amount of money, which isn't very high, the rest of the money is yours. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, try it. You know, you're driving for Uber, you're driving for Lyft, you're driving for Via, you're driving, for Shlomo in wherever he is in Sheepshead Bay, okay, whatever. Try driving a yellow taxi. You can pick up fares in all five boroughs at any time, okay? All right? You can pick up at the airports, despite all of the things they've done to try to keep us from picking up at the airports, okay? All right?
Right.
You know, you will make money. You will, okay? Even with the $2.50 surcharge, suicide surcharge, they call it, right? Whatever it is, the passengers are paying, they want yellow cabs, okay? And, when you watch the video that I'm going to put up of this pretty much irate passenger who calmly told about how they're trying to keep people from getting yellow taxis at the airports, by keeping him on the bus or whatever, he wants a yellow cab. He had enough of this app stuff. He's done, okay? So visit the front page of NYC Taxi News. That's nyctaxinews.com. If you're listening to this show, you probably know how to get to the website, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And visit our sponsors, okay? And call them, and you'll be driving a yellow taxi tomorrow. Okay. No questions asked.
By the way,
No
questions asked.
No questions asked.
One more thing. I saw a little hatchet job by the Times about financing for yellow cab medallions. And the lenders. Listen, let me tell you something. The city of New York, when they auctioned medallions a few years ago, they had an upset bid price of right around $800,000. So the city of New York was basically telling everybody in the industry that the so-called faith and credit of the taxi medallion was perceived to be $800,000 by the city of New York and their floors of lawyers, their floors of accountants, and the taxi commission when they auctioned off the medallions direct issue from the city for $800,000. So in a way, I mean, the credit unions, to some degree, I'm not going to get on a soapbox and start defending the credit unions, but the city of New York basically told everybody the medallion was minimum $800,000 for an auction bid, which meant it was more than that. So if the city medallion had a pure auction where the first bid will be $1 and then $5 and then $100, and starting from zero, okay, then you might have some blame. But if the city of New York is going around and telling people, the press and the media and the potential buyers, that in their opinion, the yellow cab medallion at an auction from the city is worth at least $800,000, then if the credit union says, hey, that looks like pretty good, the city's saying it's worth $800,000, you would think the city would protect it. But the great double cross was about to take place. And right after that last taxi medallion auction, whammo, they screwed us with the whole app car Uber schmoober fiasco. So in slim defense of the credit unions, the city of New York basically winked and waved at all the cabbies who wanted to buy medallions and all the fleet owners who wanted to buy medallions that the medallion was at that time worth $800,000. So, Abe and Carolyn, what's your view on that?
Interesting thing about those auctions was that they were for wheelchair cabs. And people were falling all over each other to grab them. So there was no problem, you know, with getting more accessible cars out there on the road. It's just the problem is the root of every single problem we have is that there's 85,000 additional cars on the road. So you let all these cars on the road. Guess what? Driver income went down, congestion went up, and then you develop these Rube Goldberg solutions. So instead of getting the cars off the road, you have driver income rules, cruising rules, a cap that doesn't really work. There's still 118,000 prior vehicles out there. I think at the highest high it was around 120. Somebody said 122, but I saw 120. So that really hasn't been effective. But they never want to deal with the real problem. Why did the Transportation Committee have a hearing on September 10th? It was an emergency hearing. Why was that? It was the IDG, the phony Uber union that gets money from Uber, who called for that meeting. Because they want more cars on the road. The livery guys, the livery bases want more cars on the road. I didn't listen to the luxury representative speak, but maybe that's such a small segment.
There certainly was a good number of Uber drivers out there crying that they can't use their own cars. Okay,
right. They had 9 years to figure out that they needed to get a plate. You had 9 years. Now all of a sudden, you have to have a plate. Plus, the livery bases are crying they have to have more cars. The black car bases are crying they have to have more cars. What is stopping a guy who's out there with a car and a plate from reaffiliating, from leaving Uber and going to a black car base or livery base? Nothing's stopping him. So clearly there isn't any real demand to have more cars with those bases. So is this like all a ruse for Uber to have even more cars to dispatch to get around the cap rule? Because, you know, they're still suing in court to do away with the cap rule. As ineffective as it's been, they don't even want that, so now they want more cars. And then you have Mira Joshi touting a week ago, she wants more green cabs on the road. She wants more permits to be sold. Like, why do we need more cars? I mean, it's just absurd. Bader B. Desai, when she was at the hearing on Tuesday, said she didn't understand why they were even having a hearing. Like, what's going on here? She said the TWA has already, you know, had some proposals into the TLC a couple of months ago to have a minimum rate across all sectors that the app drivers, black car drivers, I guess liveries, I'm not sure, would get 85% of the fare. And that there would be, she wants a cap on the leasing charges to the drivers, similar to what you have in the yellow industry. She doesn't want deactivations. And she wants, see, this is the conundrum. Once you make things better for the drivers, you actually encourage more of them to sign up and drive, which really isn't what you want. See, there's a problem with that.
Carolyn, maybe you should be TLC commissioner.
Let me just tell you one more thing. She invented, or whoever wrote this document, invented a new category, which I find a little alarming and nobody's discussing it. I think it's called an associated driver. An associated driver would be associated with a base, and the base would hire the driver. That's not the way bases are supposed to work. The owner of the car is supposed to be a member of a cooperative and own shares in the base The TLC has been ignoring that rule for years, and they never want to discuss it when you bring it up in a meeting. They just change the subject. But this is an acknowledgement by the TWA that these are large, illegal, black taxi fleets who are just hiring drivers directly. And really, you're not supposed to be doing that. I mean, I think they would have to rescind the cooperator franchisee rule in that case, which I imagine would make Van Ackman's case against the city even better, because it would show that they did have this rule in place. They ignored it. Now it's a problem. They're going to have to get rid of it. I don't know. But that's a very interesting part of the this very long proposal that TWA made, which the taxi commissioner has to respond to, I think, probably by around next week, because I think they have 60 days to respond to a proposal for some new rules. So that's coming up soon. That's going to be very interesting.
Carolyn is the guy, by the way, anybody out there in the industry, and I speak for Abe, I'm sure, Carolyn, you've been a godsend throughout this whole process, because you bring us real news and solid news, which we really respect and appreciate. So thank you very, very much from us and thousands of other cabbies. Thank you.
Carolyn, do you
want... But it doesn't matter. Carolyn, that's the funny thing.
Do you want...
it really doesn't matter.
Do you want the job as...
Well, it doesn't matter.
Hold on. Let me talk. It's my turn. Okay, Carolyn, do you want the job as taxi chairman?
No, I don't know how to run a large organization. But I'll be willing to advise the taxi commissioner.
Why don't you go into City Hall and apply, not for taxi commissioner, apply for some kind of inside job where you can advise, something like that.
I volunteered for that.
And?
There is a taxi task force.
Yeah.
Which I was asked to be on, possibly.
Yeah.
Then I never heard. I was asked if I was willing to be on it. Then I never heard from anybody. Okay, I said yes. Yeah. I never heard from anybody. Then I volunteered to the people in charge of it. I said, you know, like, I do know certain things. Maybe I can be helpful. Call me up, you know, if you want me to talk to anybody about this, because maybe there's some information I can provide that you're not getting. Because I think the way the narrative of this taxi task force is going is that, this is just a guess on my part, feminine intuition. The yellow cab business is finished. It's done. We're here to do hospice care. And just help, you know, the sickest of the sick, you know, try to, like, just get them through their bankruptcy process.
Well, we're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
Of course,
done.
I agree with you. I think this is what they are thinking.
There's at least, you know, 8,000 or 9,000 medallions out there that don't owe one penny.
Right. If by next year you're not allowed to pick up on the curb, and you can't pick up at LaGuardia, and they're screwing around with you at Kennedy, and you can't drive on 14th Street, and then maybe you
can't
drive on...
Listen, New York City will never be a city of app calls and radio calls and however you want to do it. There will always be people out on the street hailing taxis. They can't stop the people from doing that, okay?
But the people have to know how much of a mess it is becoming, and how much we're being prevented from helping them to get care.
Well, they will know they will know if suddenly there are no cars out there to hail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we want to prevent that from happening.
I know.
You know, I rode down in an elevator with a woman who was on the phone, and somebody was telling her that her mother had just taken a bad fall. So she was very upset. She ran out of the building, into the street, hailed a cab. Immediately, the guy stopped for her, held up traffic for a couple of seconds, and off they zoomed.
That's how it works.
You couldn't do that with an Uber.
Right. That's how it works. That's how it works in New York. Okay?
Yep.
All right? You know, I mean, you know, I wish I could do that where I am here. I'm in Florida. I'd love to be able to drive to Miami, get a taxi, and drive around and pick up hails. It doesn't happen there. It doesn't happen there. Okay.
It's all prearranged.
It's all radio calls. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Uber there too. You know, I mean, you know, they make me sick every time I see a car with that Uber sign in the window. I go, I want to vomit. You know, oh my God.
Well, hey, let me ask you, since the cat's out of the bag, since you're in Florida, how do the cabbies do in Florida? And B, how many New York City former
I went in. Look, I went into the taxi company in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know the name of it. It's actually, they call themselves Yellow, but they're in white cars, okay, and they have meters in the car, okay, and I would say they have a fleet of, 1,200, 1,400, okay?
Wow, big fleet.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Maybe that's them on the phone right now.
No, that's a robocall. I'm gonna cut that off, all right? Okay. I went in and I spoke to this really nice woman there, and she told me that their drivers, their drivers are making money. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I see them around. They're still working. Okay. The Miami taxis are still working. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What about the rank and file? What about former New York cabbies down there? You've seen a few of them, too.
Oh, they're here. The retired medallion owners are here. Okay. I mean, I used to hear from them, a couple of years ago. I haven't heard from them lately. I think they got repossessed or whatever, or sold. I know one medallion owner that held the mortgage and sold the medallion. Okay. But what I'm saying is New York City is a hailing city, okay, whereas Miami isn't. Okay. You know, if Miami was a hailing city, I wouldn't want to – I might buy a medallion there if that was the case, okay? But I would love to be able to just work once in a while, okay?
Right.
And, this robocall is leaving me messages also, okay? Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, they clog up the message box.
Yeah,
I know.
I can't get any quill call. I would love to be able to go to Miami maybe 3-4 days a month, maybe every Sunday or something like that, and lease a taxi and ride around and pick up street hails, but they don't exist, okay? All right, they don't exist. So maybe I'll fly to New York and do that, but that would cost me too much money. Okay?
All right.
I came to Florida. I came to Florida when everything was good. Okay? When, after 42 years of driving, I felt that I deserved to now retire. Okay? I was 65 years old at the time. Okay, when I came to Florida. And I said, okay, 42 years is enough. Okay, I'm in good. My medallion's doing fine. Okay, and I come to Florida, and the next thing I know, a year later, this bullshit is happening, And that's what happened to other retired medallion owners. Okay, and some of them, we started the Mike and Abe show. We're in almost 4 years. We've been doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we just don't do it as often anymore, but we will pick that up. Okay,
we're going to pick it up now that the season is here. The radio season.
Okay,
there's going to be another meeting of the TLC in a few weeks where they're going to discuss, I think, the brokers and the leasing agents.
Yeah. Okay. We've added Carol into the show. She's an absolute asset to me and Mike yelling at each other. Okay. We never yell at each other, but it's Carolyn is a great asset. She knows everything. Whatever it is.
Well, I read a lot. I have been reading a lot for the past few years.
Yeah,
I never see anything that I want to see when I'm reading this stuff. But can I just get back to the task force?
What have they done? What are they doing?
They're operating in secret.
Yeah.
They're 19 members. They were supposed to be 9. So I don't think that's legal to begin with. And they're operating in secret. Now, the city charter has, a task force to redo the city charter. The real estate tax system has a working group to try to fix up the real estate tax system. There's a task force on the BQX, the trolley that would go between Queens and Brooklyn.
Oh.
All this you can see on TV, you can get transcripts, you can see what's going on. The taxi task force, total radio silence. Nobody knows what's happening in that room.
Do we know who's on the force? We should find out right away.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I have to give Brian Rosenthal credit. He posted all the names of the people.
That's right.
And there was one more guy who was added. from the Public Advocate's Office. I had been told it would be, you know, it's like some functionary from Jumaane Williams' office, but it isn't. It's Ali Najmi. He belongs to, like, the Muslim American Legal something association. He's a lawyer who represents drivers sometimes. I don't know where he's from originally. Maybe Bangladesh. I'm not sure. But he is that person on it. And then there's a guy on it who's a medallion owner driver who's owned the medallion, I think, for 20 or 30 years, and he drives every day. So he's like our guy. But none of us knows him, which is kind of weird. You know, it would be nice to talk to him, you know, to see what's going on or just tell him, you know, what the concerns are of the owner drivers. But nobody knows who he is. There's some academics. There's somebody from the TLC on it. But I think, as I said, their narrative is that yellows are on the way out and they're just going to try to make the bankruptcy process maybe easier or something like that. So I think I should probably get in touch with the academics and work up some numbers like you and I did the other day, Abe, about what you earn, what's your insurance, what's your car payment, what's your maintenance, you know, blah, 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 blah. What's your loan payment? You know, what would we should probably work out a few different scenarios to show them that indeed you can make money driving a yellow cab, even as an owner, even with a loan.
You can make money driving a yellow cab also if you drive somebody else's taxi. All you have to do is pay the lease and go out and make money.
Right. That's okay. Not what the task force is about.
I know
the task force,
I know that.
Medallion owners with big loans.
But the drivers out there that are crying about that they can't drive their own cars, park your car, please.
I know.
And go get
There's
a taxi.
An alternative.
Go get a taxi.
Right.
They'll pay the maintenance for
immediately.
You.
Immediately.
They'll pay everything for you except the gas. Okay? Just take your...
Now, the other thing,
you know,
a lot of these...
Go ahead.
Just said, a lot of these Uber drivers, I've talked to more than a few of them, a lot, have been sucked into these car deals where even if they wanted to give the car back, they can't give the car back. And the sucked into the car deal within the sucked into the car deal is I talked to one guy, he said, if the passenger rating goes down, drivers get thrown off the air. So
sucked into what car deal? Just park the car and go drive a yellow, okay? That's it. You know, park the car, tell them I'm done. What car payments? You know, they don't have to make any more car payments. Just park the car.
Well, apparently they get these Uber car deals where they are obligated. It's a mortgage. I mean, or not a mortgage, but it's a car loan.
Right, but if you don't have any other assets.
Yeah, right. Let them come after you. Let's see what happens. All right? Let them. No, they're not coming after anybody. Okay?
You know, here's the thing. They want to talk about predatory lending.
Yeah.
How about predatory lending from a cab driver who finances a car through an Uber satellite and wants to give up the car, and he can't? How about that for predatory lending?
I think the TLC is going to address that and the
Good.
City Council.
That's fine.
And they're forming a task force on liveries.
task force.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a whole set of rules in place about how much you can charge to lease a black car. To somebody, or I guess a livery. I'm not sure.
Mike, Carolyn, this is the longest show we've ever done. We're up to an hour and 20 minutes. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I think we covered everything.
Yeah. So let's get back together.
Hey, that's an idea.
Yeah, have a marathon.
No.
Yeah. Let's wrap this show up.
I remember the taxi marathon. Listen, it was a great cab.
Listen, let's wrap this show up before my bladder explodes. Okay.
Okay.
Which by the way was the biggest
biggest
problem I ever had driving a taxi, which was how do I get out of this car and go pee? Okay. You know,
sample bottle.
No. I'm not doing that. I'd rather find an alley. Okay.
No.
Yeah, I was an alley. I was an alley peer. Okay.
Alley.
All right. You know.
That was your stage name.
Yeah, I knew every alley in the city. You know, that's it. You know,
you were doing stand-up.
It took me years to learn all these alleys, you know, and out-of-the-way places, but I know them all. Anybody needs consulting on this matter, just call me. Okay.
Well, imagine as bad as it was with 50,000 taxis, four-hour vehicles on the road in 2011, how much worse is it with 135,000 vehicles with no place to park to go to the bathroom?
Well, the,
Maybe it's the urologists are probably making the fortune.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. All right. Bye, folks.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's get off the show.
Thank you very much. Great show. Thank you, Abe. Thank you, Carolyn.
Everybody out there.
Tell a friend.
Everybody. Thank you guys for inviting me.
Okay. You're always...
I wish I had some good news to tell you.
Carolyn, you're glued. We're not letting you go. Okay, you're not.
Like I said, I'm not a volunteer. I'm a draftee.
You're drafted, right? Exactly. So thanks to everybody listening to the show. We will see you again soon on the Mike, Abe, and Carolyn Show.